Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the NFL making its move. We'll tell you why you might not see Deshaun Watson on the field at all this year. Then, tampering and Tua drama in South Florida. We'll tell you one move the Dolphins should absolutely make right now. And then Zeke wants a gold jacket and a Super Bowl ring. Is this his last chance to earn either one? Could it be his last year in Big D? Those are the questions. We've got all the answers as we get up with you starting right now on a Thursday. Delighted that you are there. Chris Canty has gotten up with us this morning. He's in studio. Love the pocket square, big fella. It's a big pop of color, and it's working. Meanwhile, take a look at the squad we've put together for you today talking football. Shefty is here. Ninko is here. Mike Tannenbaum is here. On a day where the NFL preseason kicks off tonight, normally that would be our top story. Today, it is not. Again, the news coming off the field. The National Football League has appealed the six-game suspension for Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, seeking a tougher penalty for violating the league's personal conduct policy in the wake of disciplinary officer Sue L. Robinson's ruling. And so, of course, people see that news yesterday. They want to try to understand what it means. Thankfully, we have Shefty here to explain everything. So, Shefty, what are the things the fans need to know as they see this news yesterday as it pertains to Watson and the upcoming season?
Well, Greeny, there's a lot to unpack here, but here's what we'll try to do and try to explain it all. Essentially, the NFL wants to take Deshaun Watson off the football field and wants to do it for a long period of time. The NFL was deeply troubled by the judge's decision on Monday to suspend Deshaun Watson for only six games. It's looking to have an indefinite suspension imposed upon him. It's looking to take away some of the money that the Browns gave him in his $230 million fully guaranteed contract. And it would like Deshaun Watson to have some form of mandatory treatment. Now, the NFL appealed it, and obviously the NFLPA has 2 days to respond to the NFL's decision to appeal this. And the NFLPA could opt to take the NFL to federal court, which is certainly looming as a possibility. And then there's the idea also that the NFL could basically say that we're thinking of taking Deshaun Watson off the field for as long as we are and somehow reopen settlement talks as well. And perhaps the two sides can avoid the long, drawn-out, sticky, messy process that would await both sides and somehow come to a settlement before that would even occur. But that is all in question. The one thing we do know is that the NFL does not want to see Deshaun Watson on the football field anytime soon, if at all, during the 2022 season.
And for those who have not followed this all through the summer and beyond, who are wondering, well, wait a minute, didn't they just put an independent person in place to make these decisions? It is part of this process. It has all along been part of the process that either side could appeal, and that appeal goes to the league, to either Roger Goodell or his designee. So we will wait and see. Shefty, a question that probably isn't easy to answer, but from the people you talk to, some will wonder, is there any chance as a result of all the legal machinations that Watson actually winds up on the field week one pending some sort of ultimate resolution? What have you heard?
What would have to happen to have that occur, Greeny, is that the NFLPA would have to get a temporary restraining order. And then, of course, there would be the chance that he would get on the field. The way it has been described to me is that it is unlikely that that's going to happen. Now, again, I think both sides have lots more questions than answers right now, and nothing is overly clear. We'll see how this all unfolds. But the idea of Deshaun Watson being out there in week one doesn't sound like it's practical and realistic, though there is certainly the chance of that happening if a TRO was granted in this particular case. But again, a lot of people want to see Deshaun Watson off the field, but the NFLPA also believes that they had, in this particular case, the judge, what was supposed to be a neutral, objective, third-party observer, weigh in. And the NFL already is taking the judge's decision and discarding it and trying to get it back to where it was, where the NFL gets to be the judge, jury, and executioner. That's one of the issues that the NFLPA is fighting, in addition to the fact that, as the judge pointed out in her decision, that notice about changing discipline was not given in advance to the NFL wanting to suspend Deshaun Watson as long as it did, which is why the judge kept it at 6 games and not longer. So, again, I think the judge pointed out that Deshaun Watson, in her eyes, the NFL proved he was guilty of sexual assault. He posed a threat to the women that were near him. He compromised the integrity of the league. She essentially gave victory to the NFL on those grounds. But it's the process itself that has come under fire that the NFLPA is defending Deshaun Watson about. And that's what this whole case will be about if the two sides are unable to settle their differences.
Now, let me bring everybody in here, and I'm going to want to get Mike Tannenbaum in pretty quickly because Mike is a lawyer and actually teaches a class in law. But I will just say, Chris Canty, you heaved something of a heavy sigh as Shefty was finishing up those thoughts. What is it about this that you find so disheartening?
Well, the NFL wants to set a new precedent when it comes to violence toward women. And under that umbrella of violence toward women, I'm going to put predatory behavior and Deshaun Watson compromising the agency of those women in that situation. And I'm all for it, Greeny, but I just want that standard to be applied to everyone in the NFL, including the owners. Greeny, we've had 3 owners who found themselves in situations recently where you're talking about them through action or inaction compromising the welfare of women, and yet we're talking about them not being punished or the punishment amounting to a slap on the wrist. All I'm saying is, when it comes to the degree of punishment that they're trying to exact on Deshaun Watson, we need to make sure that we're holding Roger Goodell accountable for putting that same degree, that same standard on the owners. And it says it in plain language in the personal conduct policy. Owners are to be held to a higher standard than anyone else in the National Football League. When are we going to see the owners live up to that?
Right. It does say that. So that's the off-the-field piece of this. And obviously, and as we have discussed all week long, this is not going away anytime soon. There is obviously a football component to this as well. Mike Tannenbaum, if you are right now running the Cleveland Browns, what is the, as you see all this happening around you, and there's very little of it that you control, what are you doing right this minute?
I'm calling the San Francisco 49ers, and I'm trying to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm not getting off the phone. Based on everything that Adam recapped, I think it's very likely that Deshaun Watson doesn't play in 2022. I don't think the league went through this appeal to tack on a game or two. I think they're all in on trying to suspend Deshaun Watson for the season. While Jacoby Brissett has played good football in his career, if they could add somebody of Jimmy Garoppolo's ability and what he's accomplished, again, they're chasing the Cincinnati Bengals. I would do everything within reason if I'm the Browns to acquire Jimmy Garoppolo as soon as possible.
It's interesting. They have Jacoby Brissett. They have 2 very unproven, Josh Dobbs and Josh Rosen, backups who would be behind him in that circumstance. And Brissett, as a holding the fort quarterback, is probably about as good an option as you could have. But if it's going to be an entire season with a championship caliber team, what do you think of that, Ninko? Should they be on the phone with Jimmy G?
Of course. And I've played with Jacoby. I played with Jimmy G. They're on the team at the same time I was. So I understand both of those guys are great football players. But Jimmy G, obviously, with the experience that he has in high pressure situations, he's been on a great football team. The Browns don't want to have a lost season here. And if you're on that team and you're not the quarterback, you don't want to have a lost season either. You want to compete. You want to put yourself in the position to win a division, to get in the playoffs. If you look at the roster, they are loaded. They've been loaded. So now what are they going to do at the quarterback position? I don't know, but I think Jimmy G being available, that seems like the best option in my opinion. Same with Mike.
Shefty, let me circle back to you then on this, because, I mean, all of a sudden I've got people on this show. First, I had people telling me San Francisco shouldn't trade away Jimmy G. Now, this week, all of a sudden, I've got people picking them to go to the Super Bowl behind Trey Lance, and I'm being told that Trey Lance is a popular MVP pick in Vegas. So having said all of that, where are we, if anywhere, on a Jimmy G trade? He remains the most interesting and appealing option for a team that needs a quarterback. What, if anything, is going on with him right now?
I think the 49ers are waiting out the process, knowing that at some point in time, they're hoping that something goes wrong somewhere, whether it's with an injury, whether it's with Deshaun Watson in Cleveland, but they're hoping that all of a sudden there's a team out there that emerges that has interest in Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo has been cleared to practice. There was video of him yesterday throwing the football. He looked just like Jimmy Garoppolo from seasons past. Didn't look inhibited at all. And so he's been cleared to practice, and they're kind of waiting it out. Now, at some point in time, they're going to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. They do not expect Jimmy Garoppolo to be a part of the 49ers in 2022. They are turning the page and handing the football to Trey Lance and letting him run with it. So now the question becomes, where is Jimmy Garoppolo going? When is he going? And how is he getting there? And the question will be, how long do the 49ers wait before somebody steps forward and decides to either be interested in Jimmy Garoppolo, unless the team all of a sudden doesn't find interest, and then maybe towards the end of the summer moves on from him and releases him? So there are a lot of questions, but the bottom line is Jimmy Garoppolo is not expected to be in San Francisco, and he will wind up somewhere else.
And Chris Canty, just let's try and ask you this question as a former player. I put yourself in that locker room. We all have our feelings on the Deshaun Watson situation and how it will be adjudicated and all of that. Mm-hmm. If you're a member of that team, you have to put that to whatever degree you can out of your mind and move forward with your season. All of this uncertainty at quarterback, will it be Deshaun? Will he be back at all? Is Jacoby Brissett going to be our guy? Are we going to go out and get Jimmy Garoppolo? This is a really good football team otherwise. The NFL loves to use the word distraction, and I hate applying that to something this serious. But is this a problem? Can they overcome all of this and still have a really good season?
Well, I think they can, G. And for context, I was in that Baltimore Ravens locker room in 2014 when Ray Rice happened. And that was one of those situations that made us closer in that locker room when we took an us against the world mentality just because of all of the controversy that was swirling around the team. Now, I get it. Deshaun Watson is a quarterback. Ray Rice was a running back. It's different in terms of the impact on winning. But when you start to think about how that can galvanize a team, I think this could be something where the Cleveland Browns use it as fuel in order for them to try to be a competitive team and have a successful season.
Shefty.
Yeah, they can use it as fuel, but just think about how strange this continues to be and will be for the Cleveland Browns. They're out on the practice field yesterday. There's 15 minutes left in practice. The NFL announces it's appealing the decision. The sports world goes crazy debating it. The Browns are coming in. Deshaun Watson's getting pulled off the field to have it explained to him that the NFL is appealing this decision. And obviously, this shows no signs of letting up anytime soon. And now Jacoby Brissett is thrust into the position that he was when he backed up Tom Brady, Andrew Luck, Tua Tagovailoa, and now Deshaun Watson.
Go ahead, Mike T. Finish it up.
Yeah, just to put a ribbon on it, it's ominous if I'm the Browns knowing that the league didn't file this appeal again to make it 7, 8, 9 games. When they heard about what the league did, they had to immediately think it's reasonable that Deshaun Watson doesn't play for us for the entire season.
That's correct. I think that's probably the best thing we can inform the audience this morning. We can tell you no one knows with certainty what is going to happen. But the likeliest outcome, based upon what we know right this minute, is that Deshaun Watson does not play for the Browns this year. We'll have to wait and see. Let's leave it there for the moment. There's a lot of other sports news that we will get to as we go. The Dolphins, clearly they want to Tampa Tom. So what does their current quarterback have to say about all of this? Is there even more pressure on Tua? We'll talk about it. Plus, Zeke wants to be a Hall of Famer. Does he have to play like one for the Cowboys to win a championship? We're talking about it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat
For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up, and we had some debuts last night in San Diego. Padres Rockies Juan Soto's first game as a Padre. Crowd was ready and excited. 3-0 was the count in his first at-bat last night, and there he takes one outside, four-pitch walk, so he reaches base in his first plate appearance in San Diego. Later in the inning, Jake Cronenworth is up with the bases loaded. Soto's at third. Cronenworth gets hit, so Soto scores a run in his first opportunity. Padres up 1-0. Next batter is Brandon Drury, and he sends that one to Drury Lane. That's a grand slam on the first pitch he sees in his first at-bat as a Padre. 5-0 is the score, and they're having fun in San Diego. Bottom five, 6-1 Padres now. Manny Machado leading off the inning. This is the first pitch he would see. It might be, it could be. It is his 19th of the year. 7-1 is your score. Padres cruising. Bottom of eight now. They're up 9-1. Soto at the dish in search of his first hit in a San Diego uniform. And there it is. 1-for-3. Walked twice. Scored the run. Padres win it 9-1. So far, so good for Juan Soto and company in San Diego. And with Tatis Jr. still rehabbing from a broken left wrist, we've still not seen the best of this team. What would the new look Padres would look like at full strength? This is the team they will potentially be, and relatively soon. That could be as good as anybody in the National League. All right, back to the NFL, where the Dolphins and owner Stephen Ross were charged with tampering in their communication with Tom Brady in 2019 and then again in 2021. Of course, the Dolphins' current quarterback is Tua Tagovailoa. He talked about the situation yesterday and his team's support.
I remember I came in 2020, so whatever happened in 2019, I can't even speak on that. So I was here 2020, and I'm still here, and I'm blessed to be here. You know, if it has to do with support from the team, I think the team's all in with me and all the guys that we have now.
You almost have to feel bad for him, to be completely honest with you. He's put in that situation. Hey, you're trying to establish yourself as an NFL quarterback. How do you feel about your owner tampering with the greatest quarterback of all time? Shefty, this story obviously has a million different implications. What does it all mean for Tua?
Amazing how we've gone. The storyline once was tanking for Tua, and now it's really tanking and Tua and how it impacts him going forward. And essentially, and it's a situation where the Dolphins worked hard to get that draft capital. And they have now lost a first-round draft pick in what is expected to be a quarterback-rich draft. And that certainly will impact their ability to go after a quarterback if that's what they decide to do, which gives Tua, I think, a little bit more leeway this upcoming season. But as we head into the season, it's interesting that Tua Tagovailoa is one of about two different quarterbacks that have as much pressure on them as any in the league. The other might be his former Alabama teammate Jalen Hurts. But Tua is down there dealing with all the pressure. They have surrounded him with as much talent, as much explosive firepower as he could possibly want. They go out, they add Tyreek Hill, they go out and add Teron Armstead along the offensive line, Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert, Cedric Wilson. No team added more offensive firepower than the Dolphins, and now it's up to Tua to make it all happen.
That's right. So, Ninko, how do we see this? It's been a bumpy couple of years. There have been a lot of issues. He was hurt coming out of college. It was COVID. The coach thought, the owner wanted him to throw game. I mean, he's faced a lot of adverse circumstances. How do you see it for Tua right now, Ninko?
There's no more excuses now. You can't say, hey, we don't have the weaponry. They went out and they spent a lot of money. They brought in a lot of high talent when it comes to the offense side of the ball. They go out and they get a head coach that's an offensive guru, an offensive mind. So, again, Tua's got a lot of pressure on him this year. He's going to have to perform well. And on top of it, with them taking away a first-round draft pick, if he does perform well this year, who knows what that first-round draft pick or that third-round draft pick could have been. And again, if he struggles this year, then really they're going to have to go and find the answer at quarterback. Because if it's not Tua, they have the weaponry. You have the fastest receiver in the NFL. Now you need to make sure that your quarterback is the right piece. And he's got to play 17 games. He hasn't stayed healthy. He's going to have to stay healthy this year if this team wants to win a division or get in the playoffs. Tua's going to have to play really well, and he's going to have to stay healthy.
You know, I think it was Mike T who first said that the Dolphins have put together a team that the next aggrieved quarterback in the NFL, whoever it is going to find a very attractive potential landing spot. So let's switch it to the other side. All this talk about, you know, can he get it done? Chris Canty, if Tua is the player that I'm old enough to remember when he was projected to be, right? I mean, Shefty said it, they were tanking for Tua. Let's say he's really good. How good could this Dolphins team be this year?
You're talking about them being a playoff team, Greeny, and I know that we have a loaded AFC, but if Tua is a solid quarterback and he's available for all 17 games, there's no reason why the Dolphins can't find themselves in the playoffs. They really have a top-notch defense, a championship-level defense that's only going to continue to ascend when you have young players like Javon Holland and Jalen Phillips on that side of the ball, not to mention some of the other mainstays in Christian Wilkins and company. So I just look at the Miami Dolphins as a team that's ready to go. The offensive line has been a sore spot. The skill positions have left something to be desired. They've cleaned all of that up. Chris Greer has left Tua no excuses as to why he can't be a highly productive quarterback. And Greeny, in my mind, he's got to go out there and do that. And a part of that is definitively proven that he's at least the second best quarterback in his division.
Yeah, also they bring in a new offensive-minded, you know, quarterback guru kind of new head coach, which should help the matter as well. Mike T, how about it all? You make your home right down there. You're right by Miami. You know the organization inside and out. What do you think of Tua and this season?
Yeah, it's a consequential year for him. And if I'm Miami, to their credit, they still have a first-round pick. It's San Francisco's, but that does put them behind Houston, Detroit, Seattle, and Philly. Those four teams have two first-round picks. So, ironically, if he has any bumps in the road, Greeny, in the preseason, Jimmy Garoppolo could be a major factor for them as well, because when they look at the landscape of this year and next year, knowing that it's going to be hard for them to get up in the draft, they may want to consider Jimmy Garoppolo as their best option, because this is a playoff caliber team besides the quarterback position.
Interesting. So Jimmy G may be Cleveland. Jimmy G may be Miami. Yeah. Shefty, final word.
Well, it's funny that Mike's got Jimmy G going to all these different places. There's only one Jimmy G. There's only so many places he can go. But when the NFL comes out the other day and finds the Dolphins and strips the picks the way they do, really, it says that the Dolphins had an interest in Sean Payton, which you have to wonder if Mike McDaniel takes that personally. It says they had an interest in Tom Brady, limited owner, potentially as a quarterback. You wonder if Tua Tagovailoa takes that personally, and it gives Mike McDaniel, Tua Tagovailoa, and the rest of the members of that organization that much more motivation in a season where there's a lot of pressure on them and a lot of questions about how this group will perform.
Yeah, one of the most interesting teams in the NFL. Could go any number of different ways. We'll see. Let me take a break here. We have much more to do as we roll on this Thursday. Coming up, Z. He wants a gold jacket. He wants a Super Bowl ring. Is this his last chance to earn either one of those in Dallas? Plus, you're not going to believe what Nick Saban had to say about his team last year. I got to get Heather and Paul in here to explain it to me next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and I want you to see what happened. Hey, Chris Canty and Rob Ninkovich, look what happened at Jets practice yesterday. This is Mekhi Becton, and he just
that looks like what Larry Allen did to me in my first 9-on-7 with the Dallas Cowboys. My goodness, Mekhi Becton.
What do you think of that, Ninko?
All I know is everybody except for the two guys with beards in this show would get knocked over like that.
I think that's right. Mekhi Becton is a big fella.
Not me. He made not
Damian Canty. Woody was out at practice the other day, and he made him look small. So we've got that. Speaking of large men, Chris Canty is obviously that. And so we put together a segment for him called One Large Question. Chris Canty, I'll give you a team. You tell me what the biggest question is about that team, starting with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Can Todd Bowles lead the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to a Super Bowl in his second act as a head coach? And it didn't go so well for Todd Bowles with the New York Jets. He had a 26-41 record, only one winning season in 4.5 years as the head man. Now, he does have some things working for him. Bruce Arians moving up into the front office, Byron Leftwich staying on as the offensive coordinator, and, of course, Tom Brady as his quarterback. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but there's still some show and prove for Todd Bowles as a head coach.
Next question, what's the biggest question about Green Bay?
Can their offensive line allow them to compete at a championship level? I mean, you're talking about David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins starting training camp on PUP, and we just heard about David Bakhtiari having an additional surgery. So the question is, when will those guys be back? Last year, they were top 10 in percentage sack percentage allowed, which is a really good thing. But now with Aaron Rodgers breaking in new receivers, you wonder whether that offensive line is going to be able to hold up in order for him to have time to build chemistry and rapport with them.
All right, one more, another NFC playoff team. Cowboys, what's the biggest question there?
Are the Cowboys going to be a team that's led by their defense? Greeny, for the last several years, we've been talking about Dak Prescott being the best player on the team. But guess what? That's not the case anymore. It's Micah Parsons, and they were the number one defense in terms of takeaways, and you couple that with all the losses that the Dallas Cowboys had on the offensive side of the ball this offseason, you're starting to feel like the identity of the Cowboys is going to have to be the defense if they're going to win a championship.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, here we were 2 years ago talking about the Cowboys' defense being overwhelmingly their biggest flaw, their biggest question mark, and now with the coaching of Dan Quinn, the acquisition of Micah Parsons, maybe we're having a different conversation. Yeah, you never saw a guy standing on a box before? Go on to the quotes. We got yesterday, Ezekiel Elliott was quoted in The Athletic as saying the following. He said, obviously, that's a goal. They were asking him about the possibility of what the season would look like and everything. He said, obviously, that's a goal, winning a Super Bowl, getting a gold jacket. There's not many guys with gold jackets that didn't rush for 10,000 yards. So he's talking about putting together another big season here, and he's looking to a future in which the Cowboys are in the Super Bowl. Let me ask my group, and Ninko, I'll start with you. Does he have to play like a guy who belongs in a gold jacket for this team to have a chance to do what it wants to do this season? Ninko?
Yes, he has to play out of his mind. He's probably going to have one of the best years of his career if he expects this team to go far or to go deep and win a Super Bowl. Offensively, you look at what they have in the receiving core, I think they took a step backwards. So now they have some injuries in the slot position, talking about putting Pollard out there in the slot. Again, Zeke at his age, and we're talking about him losing a step and losing a burst. He's gonna have to find the fountain of youth this year and run for, I don't know, 1,200, 1,300, 10, 15 touchdowns. I mean, he's going to have to really carry this team if they want to set up a play action pass. They want to push the ball down the field. You got to have a running game.
Yeah. Look, history suggests that players with his career arc, running backs with his career arc, very rarely start going back up in that direction. Not saying it can't happen, but the direction that it has gone. Look at that graph. Those very rarely turn around and start going the other way. I guess I would rather ask the question, hey, Mike Tannenbaum, is Ezekiel Elliott even the best running back on his own team anymore? I don't think most people think he is.
He's not. And as Hembo reminded me, 6.2 yards per touch for Tony Pollard and 4.5 yards per touch for Zeke Elliott. And Greeny, I'm old enough to remember that 3 years ago, you reminded everybody they should not sign Zeke Elliott to an extension, that he should just play out the contract. And if Jerry Jones had listened to you, they would have definitely had Amari Cooper, maybe Randy Gregory. And Tony Pollard is by far the best player, the best running back on this team. And when you talk to opposing defensive coordinators, what they're most concerned about are running backs that can hit the home run, not bigger backs that maybe get 5 or 6 yards a carry. So this is an interesting decision for Dallas in terms of how do they deploy Pollard, because he is a much better playmaker.
You know, Shefty, it's an interesting thing. We always talk about the Cowboys because they're the Cowboys. And I got Tony Romo telling me they need to run the ball more, and I got people telling me that this is Dak's year to finally take over, and now Chris Canty is telling us that this is a team going to be led by its defense. What are you hearing coming out of Dallas? What should we be expecting there, particularly relative to the big stars on offense?
Well, a few things. They do want to make Ezekiel Elliott and the running game the focus of this offense. Now, whether or not Zeke rewards them for that and makes it worth their while is a different question. You put up the declining numbers. Mike Tannenbaum talked about Tony Pollard outproducing him, and there are coaches across the league who have privately said that they would much rather face Ezekiel Elliott than Tony Pollard. So we'll see how it all unfolds, but they do want to get the ball back into the hands of Zeke Elliott, and I think he wants to prove something because this season he is healthier. He does have no more guaranteed money left on his contract, so Dallas's obligation to Zeke after this year is minimal at best. There is a lot on the line this season for the Dallas Cowboys and for Ezekiel Elliott.
Absolutely. It is a real possibility this is his last year in Dallas. And Chris, so Chris Canty, where does that all that leave them? The Cowboys sort of cruised through what was a bad division a year ago. A lot of us think the Eagles are a lot better this year. Where does all this leave Dallas in your view?
Well, I think Dallas is a playoff team. I just think they're going to have to go the wild card route, and the degree of difficulty is going to be up because they don't have the weaponry on the offensive side of the ball that they once did. So that has to be the concern in terms of what Jerry Jones is looking at and the prospects for this team. Now, I don't think that Zeke is going to be the focal point of this running game. If you look at the last three seasons, Zeke Elliott has 10 lost fumbles, and he's only got 10 rushes that have gone for over 20 yards. Tony Pollard is the better option. Last year, Zeke had 9 broken tackles. Tony Pollard had 7, despite having 107 fewer touches than Zeke did in the running game. It's obvious. Ezekiel Elliott is not the bell cow running back for the Dallas Cowboys. If they want to emphasize the running game, Tony Pollard is the better option for that offense. That's how they're going to have success. That's where they're going to get the most mileage out of the run game.
Yeah, look, I mean, a lot of us would love to see him prove us wrong on all that. Go out and do it. But right now, that seems to be the direction that it's gone for him and them in Dallas. Let me leave that there for a moment because I got to get to this from the world of college football. Did you see this? Alabama looking to rebound after, I guess, a down season by their standards. I want you to hear how Nick Saban characterized the 2021 year for the Alabama Crimson Tide. It might have made some people say the words, "I'm sorry, what?"
Last year we had kind of a rebuilding year, so we should have 9 starters back on offense, 9 on defense, but 6 guys go out early for the draft. So that in and of itself creates a few more question marks, but it also creates opportunity for other players to be able to shine in the program and contribute in a positive way.
A rebuilding year. I don't know. Maybe I missed a meeting. Heather and Paul are with us here. Did that team win the SEC, make the national championship game despite losing its 2 best wide receivers to knee injuries and had their quarterback win the Heisman? Did I miss something, Paul? Was that a rebuilding year for Nick Saban?
You didn't miss anything, Greeny, but this is very predictable if you follow Nick Saban closely. Whenever he loses a game like a national championship game, here comes the excuse. Here comes the Nick Saban grievance tour. I mean, sometimes I don't know whether Nick Saban is trying to continue to be the greatest coach of all time or he wants Jimmy Kimmel's job. I don't really understand it because, quite frankly, at some point, it's not a great look. And I know that that's not a popular thing to say where I live because Nick Saban can do no wrong. But, first it was NIL that he was complaining about over and over. And now he's quibbling about what happened last year. And by the way, Greeny, in the past, you can go back into the record book. Every time he loses one of these games, he called the Sugar Bowl a couple of years ago a consolation game. He blamed the NFL draft on the loss to Ohio State when Ezekiel Elliott was there. There's always something with Nick Saban. But we still love him, don't we?
Fair enough. Yes, absolutely. And you know, Heather, I've got people, and you were there at SEC Media Days talking to players and coaches. I have people telling me this could be the best team he's ever had. What do they think?
Well, Bryce Young told us that they failed as leaders last year. And so before spring practices, they had a meeting for leadership. This is why Jordan Battle, their starting safety, came back, because he wants to be one of those leaders on a team that wins the national championship. As far as if they're going to be, if this is the best team, Nick Saban himself, because they were picked to win the SEC, said that he's never had a team that has such a great player on offense and defense in Will Anderson Jr. So those two players alone on both sides of the ball are something unique, at least according to Saban's perspective. But look, they do have some holes to fill, I think, especially up front on the offensive line. They do have some questions, but Alabama just rebuilds. It's like Paul said, this is just another day at the office for the time.
I don't mean to laugh, but I mean, the young man says that he failed as a leader. He won the Heisman Trophy. He was the best player in the country, and it wasn't even close. Paul, is this, he's had a lot of great teams down there. Is this, could this be his best team ever?
It could, but Heather alluded to it. There is concern inside that building about the offensive line. Now, that's pretty important, but it's even more important when you have Bryce Young, because toward the end of the season, I mean, he was rushed all over the place. I mean, Auburn nearly beat him, a team that tried to fire its own coach. So that's the issue. Saban's best teams don't always win. I thought the best team I've seen was like 5 years ago, and Clemson beat them. So you don't know for sure, but he's got the best quarterback, he's got the best defensive player. That's a good place to start when you have the best coach of all time.
So, Heather, if they're the best team going into the season, who's the biggest threat to Alabama, either in the SEC or across the country? Who's the number one threat to Saban's team this year?
Ohio State. They have a 73% chance to win the Big Ten, according to ESPN's FPI, and that is better than any other team in the country's chances of winning their conference. And they also have the best chance to go to the college football playoff ahead of Alabama. And the reason for that is C.J. Stroud and all the offensive weapons that he has surrounding him. They were the number one in offensive efficiency last year. They should be again. Jackson Smith and Jigba is one of the toughest receivers to bring after he catches the ball to tackle him. So they've just got so much around them. And I think hiring Jim Knowles as their defensive coordinator is the missing piece to the puzzle to them getting back to the college football playoff. And I don't think their defense, Greeny, has to be lights out. It has to be better than it was on third downs and red zone defense. And their offense will complement them and get them back to the top four.
Well, look, we talk a lot about how much college football is changing. But if in August we think Alabama and Ohio State are the two best teams, maybe sometimes things actually stay the same. Guys, thank you. We continue in just a moment. So Tyreek Hill is in Miami. Is it possible the Chiefs' offense could be even scarier without him? And who is their biggest threat in the AFC West? We'll go live to Kansas City for that. And Dan Graziano is going to be there, so Sneaky Hembo's put together a question for him. Andy Reid has won 6 AFC West titles, tied with which coach for the most all time? Graz will try and answer that question. He looks hot. Next. I mean, in the weather.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Back on Get Up, and let's get up and go through some of the biggest news around the world of sports. Terrible news. UConn star Paige Beckers suffered a torn ACL in her left knee in a pickup game on Monday. She will undergo surgery tomorrow and will miss the entire season. She is among the very best players in the country. Today marks the first day that LeBron James is eligible to sign a two-year, $97 million extension with the Lakers. LeBron, of course, will be 38 in December. He has 1 year left on his current contract. And from the world of golf, Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, and nine other players suspended by the PGA Tour for joining the LIV Golf Tour have filed an antitrust lawsuit against the PGA Tour. Three of those golfers are seeking a temporary restraining order so they can try playing in the FedEx Cup playoffs, which starts next week. Okay, full disclosure. Our shot with Dan Graziano in Kansas City has gone down. So we might be able to get him back here, but I'm going to have Canty try and answer the question. So Andy Reid has won six AFC West titles. That is tied with one other coach for the most ever AFC West titles. Canty, who do you think it is?
Greeny, at first I was thinking about Don Coryell and the Air Coryell offense, but then I thought better of it, and I'm going with the legend from the Oakland Raiders, one John Madden.
That's correct.
Hello.
Right.
Let's go.
Right,
boom.
Go.
Take that, Himbo.
I let the record show. I got that right, too, silently in my own head.
Me, like, too.
I'm being told, stupid, I think, Wi-Fi. That I do have Graziano. There's no question Graziano would have gotten that right also. In the meantime, Graz is on his tour through a variety of training camps. Dan, take us through what you've seen, starting with the Bears.
Yeah, I was in Chicago on Saturday. Look, it's been a rough time for the offense and training camp. You've seen a lot of reports about rough practices for the offense. They're putting it together. The offensive line has been banged up. They got a bunch of rookies there. But when I asked the head coach, Matt Eberflus, and I asked the GM, Ryan Poles, do you think you have the right quarterback to handle all of this? They said unquestionably yes. They've been thrilled with Justin Fields, the way he's worked, the way he has led. They believe they have the right man for the job there in Chicago. In Green Bay, I talked to Coach Matt LaFleur about the wide receivers. Obviously, Davante Adams not there anymore. And I said, what's the biggest thing you have to do? He said, look, the problem is Davante had an unlimited route tree. He could do anything. He said, we've got to see the guys we have advance their route trees as much as we can, so collectively, maybe they can give us something similar to what Davante gave them. That's going to be a project, and right now they're not entirely sure who it's going to be, which leads me to where I am today with the Chiefs in Johnson City, Missouri. They're without Tyreek Hill. They have to put together a wide receiver core around Patrick Mahomes. I'm eager to see how that looks when we get out on the practice field here in about an hour and a half. Interesting, one of the guys the Packers lost, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, here hoping to be part of the answer for Kansas City. So really, that's three teams I've seen that have big questions at the wide receiver position on offense.
Outstanding. It's so good to have. Dan Graziano is going to be going throughout practically every team in the NFL during these training camps, and we will bring him in regularly to just report and update us on the things that he has seen so far. And so let's live in that one there in Kansas City for just a minute. And Ninko, I will come to you. I've heard some people suggest, and you just heard Dan's report, that they think that without Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes, maybe a little more disciplined, maybe sticking to script a little bit more, that he might actually wind up getting better, as contrary to logic as that might otherwise sound. What do you think of it, Ninko?
That's really, I don't know. I mean, listen, when you're a quarterback and you have a guy like Tyreek Hill, it helps a lot. When you know you can just throw the ball to him and he's going to score, and a big play just happens out of thin air like that. Yes, of course, you're going to spread the ball around more. You're going to have to learn the offense and the details of everything and design everything that Andy Reid loves to do. But at the end of the day, it's all about playmakers. And when you lose a playmaker, it's hard to find guys. They don't just grow on trees that look like Tyreek Hill. So everyone else is going to have to be better. Patrick Mahomes is going to have to be better without Tyreek Hill.
But we just mentioned they've won the division 6 years now under Andy Reid. They still bring back an outstanding team this year. The question, and I'll start again with you, Ninko, which team is the biggest threat to dethrone them in that division? It might be, on paper, it might be the best division we've ever seen in NFL history. Ninko, who's the biggest threat to Kansas City?
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vegas Raiders, and look, Vegas has done a tremendous job last year with everything that went on with the head coach, and they move on, they go, they get Josh McDaniels, an offensive mind, you go and get a big-time receiver, you go and get Chandler Jones, you already have Bad Max Crosby, you go get Patrick Graham as your defensive coordinator. Again, you look at Carr and where they've been, I think with the addition that they've made, they could make a run here, they could win the division.
That's a fascinating pick, and not one I think most people share. Chris Canty, who's the biggest threat to Kansas City?
I'm going with the Denver Broncos, and it's because of Russell Wilson. And, gee, sometimes history repeats itself. In Russ's first year at Seattle, he took a team that only had 7 wins the year before in a 23rd-ranked offense and had them to 11 wins and got their offense to 9th. I'm predicting a similar type of effect with Russell Wilson being the quarterback with the Denver Broncos. They've already got a top-flight defense. Now it's about being able to add a quarterback that can help you win close games, that can be the difference in close games. Russell Wilson is 4th among active quarterbacks in game-winning drives. He's proved that he can consistently do that. We haven't seen that with Derek Carr. We haven't seen that with Justin Herbert. It's just potential with those two guys. And as Bill Parcells once used to say, potential just means you haven't done it yet.
Yet, that being the operative word, maybe they do get it done. Graziano out there, who do you think is the biggest threat to Kansas City?
Those are both good answers, but since Tannenbaum's not in this segment, I got to carry the Justin Herbert flag and pick the Chargers. Look, I mean, they have everything you need. The roster is absolutely stacked. The quarterback has got all the ability in the world. The only thing they have working against them is this horrible, crushing history of disappointment. But one of these years, Greeny, Charlie Brown's going to kick that football before Lucy yanks it out of the way. And the Chargers could be the year that they finally get over that hump. They sure look good.
I actually am disappointed here because I thought I was going to be completely alone with my pick of the Raiders. I'm upset that Ninkovich went there because I really wanted to be alone on that. I love the things they're putting together, Nico, for all the reasons that you do. So I'm going to take the Raiders. Quickly before I let Graziano go, 1, would you have gotten the trivia question right? Did you have John Madden?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
I know
I had it. Stupid technology letting me down.
2, is it as hot there as it looks? You look hot.
No, it's nice right now. I don't even think it's just barely 70. It's going to get hot, but the Chiefs work early in the morning. Andy Reid, you know, he's no dummy.
All right, fair enough. The one thing we know about Graziano, he's on to Cincinnati, as Bill Belichick once famously was.
Tomorrow,
and he'll
yeah.
be checking in from his travels as we go. Thank you, Dan. Outstanding. And we will see you tomorrow. In the meantime, tonight, ESPN Films 7-part docuseries, The Captain, continues with episodes 5 and 6, unprecedented look into Derek Jeter's life and career. It's 9 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And a reminder, parts 1, 2, 3, and 4 are available for you now on ESPN Plus. All right, as we continue, the NFL appealing Deshaun Watson's suspension. What exactly does that mean? What does the league want? What happens next? Adam Schefter will have all the answers right after this. Get up on ESPN.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit 1 million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.